Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Dr. Vicki Berkus about her book, 10 Commitments to Mental Fitness. We're doing a series of interviews on books that start out with the words 10 Commitments, and this particular wonderful book is one that I'm really looking forward to getting into with her. But before we get into it, let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Berkus is currently in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. She has her Ph.D. in biochemistry and is board certified in psychiatry. She serves on the boards of Monarch Health Sciences and International Association of Eating Disorders Professionals. Dr. Berkus is also a speaker for the Takeda, Cephalon, and Bristol-Myers Squibb pharmaceutical companies and consults with coaches in addressing various psychological aspects of healthy eating. She completed her psychiatry residency at the University of Arizona College of Medicine and is board certified in psychiatry and neurology. She headed an inpatient eating disorders program for 8 years. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Gail. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a delight to have you here. You know, I told you earlier that normally I don't read the books before the interviews for a host of deliberate reasons, but I got yours, and it kept calling my name, so I kept going through it. And, you know, it may seem evident to the audience the essence of your book, 10 Commitments to Mental Fitness, but tell us a little bit more about it. Tell us a little bit more about what the book is about.
Sure, I'd love to. The book was sort of written because a friend of mine, actually, who wrote 10 Commitments to Becoming Physically Fit, asked me to review his book.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him it was a pleasure, and I was sort of kidding with him, and I said, you know what, I should write one called 10 Commitments to Becoming Forever Mentally Fit. And
mm-hmm.
he said, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call my publisher and we'll get back to you. And I think the reason that it just came up so quickly is that we're bombarded with information on how to keep ourselves physically fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the same kind of easy to follow, everybody knows it, whether we choose to do it or not, but everybody knows it type of material. So I thought, well, let's put some things down in writing, which are probably things that people have thought about, but yet need a little bit more directions on how to.
Absolutely. It doesn't only apply to people who may have eating disorders. It applies to everybody. As I went through your book, I found things in there that I thought, oh, wow, what a great idea. What a wonderful way to start a day off here. And before I get too far ahead of myself here, I tell you what I would like to ask you to do, too. Just give us a brief rundown on the 10 chapters, the 10 commitments, because I want the audience to hear these.
Sure. The commitments are real simple. First one is to know that I count. I'm meeting the person that's reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is to take responsibility for your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we don't know what we're feeling.
Right.
The third one is to set priorities,
mm-hmm.
which in our busy times, a lot of times we don't take the time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we feel cheated at some point.
That's right.
The fourth one is to work on current relationships and roles, because as those of us that have aged a little bit realize is that we can pick and choose people in our life. And to be around people that are healthy and add to our life, I think, is real important.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth commitment is to set healthy boundaries. And when we talk about boundaries, it's what keeps a relationship serving both people and feeling good about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the sixth one is to grow spiritually, which I feel doesn't mean necessarily that someone has to have a formal religious introduction or practice, but there's something inside, I think, each of us that we can mature and benefit from in a very individual way.
Right, right.
And the seventh is just to identify how connected our mind and body are. And so there's so many things, especially sleep, that we don't value or put as a priority. And then it takes its toll.
That's very true.
And the eighth is commitment to change my self-talk,
oh.
which means we all have those, what I call tapes in our head
mm-hmm.
that start with a thought, then before we know it, there's an action, and we form a perception, and then our emotions come up, and then there's usually some type of sensation, whether it's headache, whether it's stomachache, whether it's feeling cold. So these tapes in our head are our self-talk, and a lot of times they don't serve us.
Right.
The ninth one is to stay in the present. It's amazing how many people worry about what happened before or what's going to happen, and they miss what's
going on right here
and now.
That's right. That's right.
And the last one is to give back some of the things you've learned. And we each have our special, I think, specialness that we can give back. And doesn't have to be on a large role. Can
no.
By smiling to someone.
It takes every part of it, doesn't it?
It does.
Every part of it. Well, now, you've given a quick rundown, and I wanted to do that, but I'd kind of like to go back and talk about a couple of these in a little bit more detail. And because actually, you know, your book, like all of these Ten Commitments books, they're short, to the point tools. Depending on what area of a person's life they would like to, they believe maybe out of control or may not be serving them well. They may have let some part of their lives get completely out of hand. Like the self-talk can do if it's not dealt with, it can really shift our perspective on things and cause our mental perspective of things to be maybe not real. And so what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, in chapter one, when you talk about know that I count, isn't that the one where you talk about the little two-letter word, how important it is, depending on which way you use it or which way you flip those little letters around?
It's true, because we're so busy thinking about what counts in terms of what am I wearing, what am I doing, how do I look, what will people think, what do I need to do today? Do I have to get to the cleaners? Do I have to get to the grocery store? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? And we get to the point where everything around us starts to count as opposed to taking time and saying, you know what, I count what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I'm needing.
Is it in that chapter? Yes, it is in that chapter that you talk about the daily psychological inventory. I just love that. Four simple little questions to start your day off with, huh?
Well, really, what it does is it tells your subconscious, if I'm going to take the time to ask myself four short questions, then I count.
Yeah.
And taking that 5 minutes or whatever it's going to take you for me.
That's right. That's right. It is a great way to start your day. That's right. You count. You let yourself know that you count. And I believe that with this, you also can begin to set your intention for your day, for the kind of day you want to have.
It does, because it sort of helps you prioritize and say, mm-hmm. uh-oh, what am I doing here? Why?
That's right.
You know, how can I make today the best day it can be for me?
Well, and I have to I have to tell you, I also love this newsflash. when it comes to let's see, is that in chapter two? Knowing you, no, it's still in chapter one.
It is.
But it's about identifying your feelings, and taking responsibility for your feelings. And even though it's quoted in chapter one, I still love it. I just, you know, too many times it's too easy to say, well, he made me feel this way, or she provoked me to, you know, well, or I was retaliating, or what? We're always blaming somebody else for our feelings.
Isn't it amazing how automatic that can become?
It really is, no matter how old we get.
It is.
It
and
doesn't
I'll,
seem to
I'll
matter.
Say whether it's an adolescent person or an older person, or I'll just say, really? Did they have a gun to your head?
I know it. I love that. Did they put a gun to your head and make you ruin your life? I love that. Oh, no. You didn't know. What you said is, if I may quote, let's see. And who said this? Let's see. How did she do that? Did she hold a gun to your head and demand that you get angry or kiss your life goodbye? I just absolutely cracked up. But I also love the fact that, you know, it's no one else's job to take care of your feelings. Newsflash.
Newsflash.
You know, I mean, this is so true. It's so true. And then in chapter two, when you go more deeply into taking responsibility for your feelings, you know, I mean, I love your quotes at the beginning of each chapter too. But then you also encourage us to go beyond just the little daily psychological inventory. And there's another little exercise that you encourage us to do.
That's correct. It's like, how big do things have to get, you know? And does, when someone looks at their feelings, you know, are they escalating very quickly from, say, annoyance to anger?
Mm-hmm.
And if that does happen for someone, then what can you do to stop it and keep things at the annoyance level?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants to be remembered as being an angry person.
That's right. That's right. And no matter how many wonderful qualities or traits you may have, if there's anger kind of sort of surrounding it all or underlying parts of it, it's going to spill through.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Still
and
through.
If it doesn't happen at the moment, it comes out later.
That's right. That is correct. Well, and on your chapter, setting priorities in life. Let's see. Somebody quoted Yogi Berra the other day. Of course, he had great lines.
Yeah.
Yes, some wonderful lines. Like, if you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there, or something like that. You know, it's sort of like that. You know, if you don't have a goal, you don't know where you're going, and you won't know whether you're where you want to be or not.
That's true.
Well, and of course, I loved the one working on relationships and roles. You know, we don't think about. We tend not to take enough time to consciously consider the roles that we wind up in.
And I use an example of my patients laugh. I'll say, if I was a psychiatrist 24 hours a day and I walked into the grocery store and I looked up at the person that was checking and I said, gee, you look sad. And I turned around to the people behind me waiting and I said, you know what? We're just going to chat here for a minute because I want to find out what's going on with this. So would you people just sort of hang for a minute? And my patients laugh. They say, okay, we get it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm also a friend. I'm also a dog mom. I'm also a daughter. I'm also a significant. So there's so many roles that we can carry, and yet problems happen when we get stuck in one.
Well, that's right. And I really would like to spend a little bit of time here because, you know, you said earlier that people can choose to be in healthy relationships or choose to get out of unhealthy ones. And you know, there are a lot of people who really do feel trapped and don't really feel like they can. They don't really feel like they do have a choice of getting out of something. How would you respond to that challenge?
Well, what I'll ask patients to do is to make a pro-con list.
Okay.
To say, would you be better with this person in your life or without this person in your life?
And pros on one side and cons on the other, huh?
Right. And if they absolutely, and I'll hear this about marriages, I'll hear this about, you know, taking
work.
Care of elderly parents, I just can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say, well, then, you know what, you need to bring people into your life that can provide the needs that you have or can fill the needs you have in a healthy way. To balance this out.
Because another point that you made is that, as you just used with your humorous example at the grocery store, no matter what role we're in, we really don't want to have to be in that role 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know, we really do want a break from it, a little variety.
We need to, because we're not just stuck in one mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun part of being human.
That's right. That's right. And when you talk about the three basic and different responses that we are that we can have, I mean, like the angry child, the angry parent, and the nurturing parent. Did I get those right?
Close. I mean, we can come back. What I'd tell someone is like as you and I are speaking right now, there's really six of us on the phone, and it sounds silly.
No,
but
it's
look
very
at me
true.
Like, okay. But what I'm saying is, when you ask me a question, I have a choice of how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I can respond in a computer. Well, we have 17 and a half minutes left, so we need to cover this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can respond in a parent, whether it's a critical parent. Why didn't you ask me this question? Or you know the answer to that already.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could come as a nurturing parent. Boy, we have this is a tough job for you. We have so much to talk about in this book, and you have to sort of outline where we need to head. And I'm glad you're doing it, not me. Or I could be an angry kid. Come on. Let's get this over with. Let's do this interview. I have other things to do.
Uh-huh.
And how what I bring in terms of what we call ego states is going to affect how our relationship takes place and how the interview goes.
That's right. And so, for example, if your nurturing parent part is trying to respond to my angry child part, it creates the kind of conflict that we witness all the time, doesn't it?
It does. The problem is it's healthy to go back and forth throughout those three different states, the
mm-hmm.
computer, the parent, and the child.
Right.
When we get stuck in our state, that's when problems occur.
Right.
So if I came back as an angry kid, no matter what you asked me, that would get real old after a while.
Right.
And it would probably force you into being that critical parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that happens. How many?
Oh, a lot of relationships, especially professional relationships, where one person is involved in training and the other person is trying to carry, you know, juggle the balls of home and job and
mm-hmm.
keeping things going. And then when one person graduates and says to the other, now it's your turn, and the other person takes over, the roles change, and for some people, they just can't handle that.
That's so true. That is so true. It's like, okay, I'm ready to be a grown up now.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to treat me like a peer, and that mentor, teacher, whatever. It's like, well, no, wait a minute. I'm not ready for you to be grown up and be a peer yet.
Right. This feels different.
That's right. And it not just in professional relationships, but how many households exist where one of the adults is in some sort of a needy scenario relative to the other. It's what is it the
a submissive or
yes.
infantilized, like an
yes,
even,
that's
even
it.
Though they're just as intelligent and just as capable.
That's right. And does every relationship have to evolve that way? I mean, can't both adults in the relationship basically wind up being able to relate on a peer level?
In a healthy relationship, that's what we strive for.
Right.
Some people just need help getting there.
Right. Okay, and so you know that I thought that was a very important chapter, because I know a lot of people who are struggling in relationships, struggling out of relationships, and just struggling to try to figure out how they got that way. How did this happen?
And what I tell people is, we can ask the why questions, and we're all bright, and we can come up with because answers. But what doesn't change is what's happening in the here and now.
That's right.
So I'd rather put the effort into what are we going to do about it as opposed to the why question.
Good point. And that's exactly right. Let's deal with some solution possibilities here.
You're right.
So that everybody can come out of this with their integrity and their dignity intact.
And move forward.
So, and of course, the next chapter, setting healthy boundaries, is extremely important to that, isn't it?
That's probably crucial.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing how many people will leave a situation and go, why didn't I say that? Why did I let him do that?
Mm-hmm.
And they know deep down it was not a healthy choice, and it did compromise their needs at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the good news I want to emphasize to everyone listening is that just because you might not have succeeded the way you would have liked to in past encounters doesn't mean that you can't. You'll get a brand new chance, believe me. Every few moments you'll get a new chance to get it right?
Definitely. People come into our lives constantly.
And opportunities to continue to work with this until we feel like we have a handle on our own personal power. And not at someone else's expense, but so that everyone's integrity and dignity is able to be kept intact.
And you have the energy to focus on you.
That's right. Well, and that's so you know, 4 and 5 are, I think, well, 3, well, actually, so far, all the first five. Like, as I said, I took this book on my holiday with me, and I wasn't sure I was going to really have a time to read it, but it kept calling my name. And then when we get to chapter 6, growing spiritually, you know, we talked about this briefly. There's a big difference between religious preferences and spirituality.
Definitely. And how I word it usually is to someone, what's giving your life value and a feeling of fulfillment?
Mm-hmm.
Is it relationships? Is it your work? Is it just being able to look at a sunset or enjoy the area around you? So, whatever it is, to take time and really understand and help yourself enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so important because all around, we are each surrounded with evidence of beauty, and it just happens naturally.
It does.
If we can, you know, stand up and lift our heads up and look away from what may feel like is a mess right around our ankles and look out a little bit beyond ourselves, we can see it. It's all around us.
And just enjoy
the
things that is there for all of us.
Well, that's right. That's right. And then I know we touched on identifying mind-body connection. You want to speak to that just for a few minutes here?
Sure. There's a saying for recovery that never let yourself get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. We use the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T.
Right.
And yet it's amazing to me how many times we do. We're rushing, we're going, we're doing, we're going to either get up early or go to bed later and think that we can function.
Mm-hmm.
And our body has been, I think having a PhD in biochemistry really helped my appreciation of, again, how much I really learned how much I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an incredible, I don't know if we call it an invention or whatever, but to say that how we're feeling physically really does affect our mental fitness.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, how true can that be for people who are dealing with chronic pain, for example?
Oh, you know what? They're my heroes because I don't understand how someone can keep putting one foot in front of another when they are feeling that much pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and then moving on, changing my self-talk, that is so profound. It is so easy, isn't it? So easy for us to allow ourselves to take something and decide to take to put a negative twist on it.
You're laughing
an enormous problem.
It's like we have this little judge perched on our shoulder.
Oh,
that's
no kidding.
Chattering in our ear. And whether I'm talking to someone who's older that says, I just hate myself. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. Or someone who's talking about their body or their look.
Mm-hmm.
And the tapes that they're telling themselves, the messages.
Oh, I know. A beloved family member has been divorced for over 20 years, and she's decided that she will never, ever experience love in her life. And I'm like, God, don't tell yourself that.
Look how global it became.
Really?
Ever, always.
That's it. That's it. That's right. That's right. I said, you keep telling yourself that, and you're going to keep it away from you, you know.
It's almost a self-fulfilled prophecy.
That's it. That's right. That's right. And I guess, obviously, the first step is to become aware that we're doing that to ourselves.
It is. It is.
And that we're letting it have that kind of power over
us. That starts with that thought. And I'll have people write down that thought, and that's one of the exercises. And just for the day, see how they can change that thought.
Mm-hmm.
If the thought's, I never get a break, and that's their mantra that they keep telling themselves, change it to, today I will get a break.
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely. Well, Vicki, I know we still have the last two chapters, you know, staying in the present and giving back what we've learned. But I want, you know, the way your chapters are structured, you emphasize an area that if they'll make a commitment to look at that area, that will contribute to mental fitness in their lives. And then you provide some insightful examples of that really, really emphasize the point you're trying to make, I think, beautifully. And then at the end of each chapter, you also provide exercises. This is really, truly a nuts and bolts how to put some mental fitness in your life. Bring your, you know, bring that area of your life into an arena of fitness, healthy fitness, isn't it?
It is. And what I challenge people is try it. You know, most people will either come to me for help or pick up a book like this because their way's not working.
Right.
And if their way's not working, I'll often just challenge them. I'll say, what do you have to lose?
Well, that's exactly right. Not a thing. Not a thing to lose. This is a great book. And I really want to encourage everyone out there to get it and start using it. And so that's actually part of my wrap-up, and I'm about to get ahead of myself here. And, you know, before we do, we are getting close to running out of time here. So, Vicki, let the audience know where they can find your book and give them your website as well, please.
Sure. It's available on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. BarnesNoble.com, and my website is drberkus.com.
And that's B-E-R-K-U-S.
Right.
D-R-B-E-R-K-U-S.com.
Right.
Okay.
And it's something that, like I said, even if you gain one thing from it, you're going to get out of the book what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's fun, and you can pick it up and put it down, pick it up and put it down. It's not something, my patients specifically said, keep it short.
Well, and you did that. You did a wonderful job. The total book is less than 100 pages.
Yes.
And so you did that. It's an easy flowing, very easy to use book. Let the audience know too, from your own words, what you would like for them to get from this book.
Well, the way I look at it is that if I watch someone making pizzas for 15 years, hopefully at the end of that time, I know how to make a pretty good pizza.
Ah.
I've been looking at people for 15 years. In my role as psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
and it's allowed me to sort of see what doesn't work
mm-hmm.
in people's behavior and people's thoughts, and so if I can take that kind of experience and put it into something that will keep people from getting to that point in their life, that's what I was trying to accomplish, to say,
great.
Okay, this is what I've learned in the 15 years of practicing psychiatry, that I hope will help people say, you know what, I want to do better. I want to feel better, I want to like myself, and I want to give myself a chance to be the person that I know I can be.
That's right, the person we were meant to be.
Yeah.
Which is, even if we only make an impact, a positive impact on one person, that is more significant than anything else we can do.
That's great.
That's absolutely right. That is, you know, it starts there. It is a ripple effect. Kind of like that movie, Pay It Forward.
It is.
If we just start with the one with right here with ourselves, improving our own mental health, mental fitness.
Right, and we can't control anybody else's.
Nope, we cannot. And no one else can control ours.
You're right.
It's entirely up to us. And so, you know, just as we may want better physical fitness in our lives, better mental fitness in our lives, here are the how-tos. Here are the books that will help us learn how to do that. And with that, I want the audience to know that this interview will be posted to your author's page on Inside Scoop Live, and that'll be Dr. Vicki, V-I-C-K-I, Berkus, B-E-R-K-U-S. You'll have your own author's page on Inside Scoop Live that this interview will be posted to. And reader views and your websites and all the websites will have an opportunity to have a link to this interview. So, Vicki, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. This has been fun, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. And I want to encourage everyone out there to go to the websites and take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own tool chest. And as a gift for, I'm sure, the many that you know out there who could really benefit from it. Vicki, thank you again for joining us.
Well, thank you, Gail.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.